Back in the day before I went abroad, I used to work one day a week at Stile Mill. Some of you will have visited Stile Mill, and it's an old weaving shed. And in there is a loom, and it's called a foreloom. And it would be owned by a family member. The father would, and it would be the way in which they would earn income for the family. It was the prized possession. It would be a matter of life and death. They couldn't feed themselves if they had that machine. And in fact, it would be handed over to the oldest male. It was so important. It was seen as part of the inheritance. That's why it was called the heirloom, which is where the word comes from, the heirloom. And I just want to kind of give you that kind of nice little bit of interesting information, because that's where the word comes from. But really, we are talking about our inheritance in Christ. It's a matter of life and death. It's bad enough being a Christian if you haven't got the power, isn't it? You know, if we've Christians, and how can a God who loves us send us out into a place without giving us the power to actually do that he's called us to do? And that is part of our inheritance. That is where we are. And we're going to look today at Joshua. Next slide. Joshua, keep going. I'm trying to move things. Joshua 1:1-9. It's the opening part of Joshua. Moses has done his bit. He's parted the sea, got water from a rock, done all the things that he's done. But he wasn't allowed to step into his inheritance. And that's another story, the promised land. But when Moses died, they were at the River Jordan. They were getting ready to enter into the land. And it said here, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid. So, a little word for somebody here. It just struck me. You feel like you're in the second seat and you're never going to be needed and you're never doing anything. And the Lord's saying is, I put you there because I've appointed you for the future, not for today. I mean, Joshua must have walked with Moses and felt, what's going on? Moses is a big guy. How can I ever fill his shoes? Whatever's going on. Well, this is the point where God calls Joshua to step up to the plate. It's his moment. And God is saying for you, there will be a time. Now is a time where God is sowing into your life, and there will be a time when you will be called to step up to the plate. Now, that's extra. That's not part of what came this morning. And so what does he say to him? He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Duh. You know, kind of, he's been there, he's seen it. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. So it's kind of, What I believe God was saying to us is this, that we look at our problems, and I don't know about you, I've done it myself, I'll say, when God does this, then I'll step in to what he's calling me to do. Yeah? And we look at the problem. It could be that we're looking at the problem that says, well, when God tells me to give this much money, I'll wait until he gives me this much money so I can afford to give it. Or if I'm going to give him a time, wait until he gives me time. Or if it's... And there's lots and lots of reasons why we can actually have that obstruction in front of us. They were looking at the River Jordan thinking, when God parts the water, we'll all pack up and then we'll go. That's not the order of things. God's looking for our faithfulness. Think about the prodigal son. The prodigal son had revelation, and when he was returning back to his father, then the father ran up to him. He was looking for him coming back. He looks for our response. He looks for us to get ready to step in that God has called us to do. Amen. And so the first thing I'd like to say to you is this. Next one. Stop waiting. Stop waiting for the, when God does this, I will do it. If God's calling you, get ready for it. The story goes on to, later on to talk about how they get across the Jordan, and that in itself is an amazing story. It's different to how Moses does it. It's different, and it won't always be the same. But the fact that they got ready meant that it was not... My availability is God's opportunity to do a miracle, I think the phrase is. And that's start waiting. And I actually got a picture on there. These are the wildebeest. and they all gather at the side, and you've seen the picture, and and suddenly they're all ready to go, and suddenly they all go together. And I kind of, I'm not saying you wildebeests. You know, you're far better looking than that. But what God is saying is, get ready. And he then moves on to say, I will give you every place that you set your foot. Not some places. Not if you stand in a lot of places, there's going to be something I'll give you. It's saying, I will give you every place. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, from the great river Euphrates, to the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. It's kind of God saying, right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you from here all the way over there, and you can't even see it, but it's going to be absolutely massive. It's going to be right over there. Keep going. Further. Oh, and it's over that way. Well, it's over that. God's giving this massive territory. All we've got to do is set our feet in it. What's your vision for God? What's your vision for what God can do in your life? Now double it again. You cannot see across the horizon of what God's for you, but God's saying here, you can't even see the territory that I'm going to give you. And I kind of had this, what God spoke to me about is this. I was teaching in a school. I won't say which one it was. I was teaching in a school on Friday. I did a day's supply teaching. I don't know if you know, but supply teachers walk into a school and they've got a target on their head. And, you know, it's kind of... And you know what? It says here that everywhere I put my feet is God's territory. So I do that. I remind myself, no, I'm actually in God's territory here. I'm not going to let the devil attack me here. You might be at work and it feels like it's just very oppressive. Stomp your feet. Start stomping. Go on, put the picture up. I'll go back one. I was thinking Monty Python when I do this. That big foot that, you know, kind of start stomping your feet. Remind yourself where you are walking is God's territory. Why? Because you are setting your feet there. You are making a difference. You are changing your environment, not the environment changing you. Start stomping. Everywhere you take your feet is your inheritance. It's your territory. We actually think, well, someone else has got to do it, and I've... No, where you set your feet, you are changing that environment because you are setting your feet there. Dangerous. You are dangerous. I used to kind of go into places and kind of say, Lord, just anoint this seat. Because I'm sat here, because I'm here. And when I go, let this be anointing that when someone sits there, they go, woof! You know, there's an anointing! You know, and I kind of, you know, I used to sit in the car and snigger like a little boy to imagine this happening. Because hope deferred makes the heart sick, but longing fulfilled is a tree of life. You know, we can sometimes get really discouraged, and the world's out there. The world does a really good job at trying to discourage us. But my God says that my longing fulfilled, as I believe that this is God's territory, I will be the tree of life. My roots will go down in him, and I will start bearing fruit that will draw other people. And it doesn't matter what's happening there. People will come. You know, if you knew there was an apple tree with nice fruit on it, you'd be out of here and going next door to pick a fruit, wouldn't you? You know, you go where the people go where the fruit is. So, stop waiting. Start stomping. And it says here in verse 5, and no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I love alls, because then I can go, all. Right. All the day of your life. No one will be able to stand against you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Just look at what Moses did. And here's Joshua, who's been the second in command. And God's saying, I'm going to actually be the same God in your life. You know what? We are part of this line. And you are the inheritors of what God did in Moses and in Joshua. God will do the same things in your life. As it was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. I'll try that again. I will never leave you or forsake you. Brilliant. Great. You got that. You know what? We sometimes think, where's God in this situation? And God says, I'm just waiting for you to stamp your feet and declare this is my territory. And it doesn't necessarily answer in the way that we always answer. So from that, move on. We need to start standing. Is it Ephesians 6 that says, when all else goes, just stand? And I found a picture, and this picture really spoke to me. I originally had a picture of a man shouting at the waves and going, I'm going to get you, I'm going to stand against you. And I kind of thought, no, actually, that's not it. That's about me standing. This guy's clinging on to a tree in a storm. As you can see from the other trees, they don't need the man clinging. The man needs the tree. So with us, we cling on to God that enables us to stand in the storm that we normally couldn't stand in. And God is saying to you this, that he knows your situation. He knows the act of the will that would be required in stamping your feet, in actually declaring this territory. But he's actually saying to you, hold on to me to give you the ability to stand in that storm. The ability to do the impossible makes people look at what you're holding on to. Just the fact that you are in a storm that everyone else is getting flattened by and you're not, because you're clinging on to God, draws attention to actually God, not you. Because people start to go, why is that? Why have they managed to do that? Yeah? And I just really want to kind of do that. So, move on. So, stop waiting. Start stomping and standing, God. And you might go, well, how does that fit in? Well, God goes on with Joshua to say this, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Now, a little handy tip, if God ever says be something, it's because you're going to be in an environment which is trying to not make you. So you are going to be in a situation in your life where the situation you are in will try and make you weak and fearful. And God is saying, be strong and courageous. In this part, it's because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. God wants to make it so that you are leaders. In your workplace, you are leaders. In your homes, you are leaders. That when everything's trying to get on top of you, that you make that choice to be strong and courageous. And that's, and sometimes, if I'm absolutely honest with myself, that can be something you have to dig deep with. Because life will try and put you down. But be strong and courageous. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land. Here's your inheritance. You're leading others into inheritance. Amazing, isn't it? And I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7. Just for a change, be strong and very courageous. You're getting a subtle hint here that God might be talking to us about being strong and courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate in it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Now that might be very, 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 very small. I understand the text on the screen is small. But I want to get this. Is number one, God wants you to be strong and courageous in leading others and cheering each other on. Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And then we will enter in. And it's all about encouraging one another. Lead each other into the inheritance. Speak the inheritance over each other. And then here it's about speak the word over each other. Let the word settle in your heart. Actually obey the word. Be strong and courageous in leading. Be strong and courageous in the word. And then be strong and courageous in, just for a change, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Why is he commanding us to not be afraid and not be discouraged? Because we're going to be in an environment where we will be, where the world will demand us to fear and the world will demand us to be discouraged. And I can tell a personal secret. I was sat doing this sermon yesterday, and Adele came into the kitchen, and I actually kind of shared how actually discouraged I was feeling. I've been unemployed 4 months. I've come back. I thought I was doing what God was calling me to do, to come back from the country. I thought the job would appear. I thought the clouds would open and God would go, that's where I want you to be. And I found myself feeling very discouraged. And we will feel discouraged. But God says, that's not how I want you to be. I actually want you to feel encouraged because you have an inheritance. So in effect, this sermon's actually been for me. Might be for you as well, but actually it was, you know, I'm claiming this. And God wants us to stand up. And you know, as the act of the will, I don't know if you've ever been unemployed for long periods, but there's an act of the will of getting out of bed. Getting out of the bed before midday. Kind of putting your feet on the ground. Actually making a choice to get out. And so in our lives, that's my personal battle. That's what God's speaking to me about. So in your life, there will be fear and discouragement that will be pulling you down. Well, God will be saying, actually, I want you to set your feet on the ground. And I don't want you to fear. And I don't want you to feel discouraged. Because I have an inheritance for you. Yeah? You've gone very quiet on me, guys. I'm going to kind of... So therefore, very quickly then, what about in new money? Where does it appear in the New Testament? Let's get next passage, please. Keep going. Matthew 28. Jesus has died, he's risen, and he's doing his last speech. And he says this. He says, going Matthew 28, 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the end of the age. Next slide. So, stop waiting. What does he say? Jesus says, go. I remember hearing someone said, I don't know what to do. There was a conversation going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what God... They said, well, what did God tell you to do last? Well, I can't remember. Well, what's God said to you in the Bible to do? And it says, go. And you know what? We stop only when God tells us to stop because God's already called us to go. So stop waiting. God, you can steer a moving ship. So go. Next, first slide. Next one. Stop. Start stomping. Make disciples of all nations. Start declaring. Start saying. You know. God even wants to work in Liverpool. You know. He wants to work in this whole area, Merseyside. God even wants to work here on this street with these guys working in these factories. God wants to claim this territory. But he doesn't want to just do it today. He wants to do it to the end of the age. So start declaring that. Start stomping all nations, wherever we put our feet. And standing is this. God says, I am with you. So whatever opposition we come against, he's saying, I am with you. Amazing thought. And I truly want to pray for you from this, because there are some people who you don't know Jesus and you really want to. You're feeling isolated, you're feeling your own. There are some people who have forgotten their relationship with Jesus, and God wants to work in our lives. Why? So that we can actually stop waiting and looking at the problem and actually step into that God's for us. For some of us, it will be just accepting Jesus for the first time. For some of us, it will be we've looked so long at the problem that we've grown quite comfortable. The fact that these people had to pack up camp, they'd grown quite comfortable next to the Jordan. It's a lovely place to be, lovely and sunny. You know, they'd got the sea, the river there, but it wasn't their territory. It wasn't the land for them to settle. It was a halfway house that they'd come accustomed with, and God's saying, don't get accustomed where you are. For some of us, we're in difficult work situations. We're in difficult home situations. And it may be that for us, we need to turn around to God and say, all right, I'm going to choose to stomp. Get used to stomping. Get used to, just doesn't, you know, it's not a, this isn't a magical, there's no place like home, you know, kind of stuff. This is actually just for your own benefit, to remind yourself. A lot of these things, remind yourself. But also, for some of us, we've allowed situations to go, to slip. And God is saying, I'm actually with you. Understand that I am with you. Accept that I am with you. Welcome that I am with you. He understands that we make mistakes. God is not a God of shame. In him there is no condemnation. He loves you. He loves you more than you can even appreciate, more than we even know love ourselves. To the point that he is saying to us, I'm with you in what you're going through. And I want to be with you and I want to work through you. And I need you to welcome me in so that I can work through you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. You are a God who speaks to us and calls us to cross over. And Lord, we forgive us if we've just grown comfortable with our lives. Forgive us if we've grown comfortable with our existence, whatever it is, and how we've accepted our current situations. And Lord, we choose to be ready to cross. We choose to put our old lives away and pick up our new lives. And Jesus, we just ask that you can reveal yourself into the lives of people. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to accept. Lord Jesus, we accept you. And Father, we speak into our lives, into our work situation. We speak into our school. We speak into our homes. Lord, we give you those impossible situations that we're facing. Father, we thank you that you know what happens in the hidden place. And Lord, we just give us a prompt to remind us that we just need to stand and step our feet. This is your territory. We declare, we speak to that problem that's come to mind. We speak to that concern. We speak to that shame. And we declare in the name of Jesus that this is no longer acceptable. We declare that this is God's territory. We declare that for someone, what was said in the kitchen this week that has hurt you, God is saying, that will no longer be allowed to hurt you. All you have to do is give it to me. I don't know who that is. I've got this really very clean, clear picture. Sorry, I'm digressing a bit, but I just got this picture of something that was said in the kitchen to someone. Lord, we speak release from that. And Lord, we thank you that you will give us the ability to stand. And Lord, we thank you for the inheritance that you give us that blesses in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing and the fullness of you. Amen.
Psalm 2:8, ask of me and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. God has a wonderful, wonderful inheritance for us to take hold of. So many promises, so many truths. And I know that there's people here, and I just remember an old song from Brownsville, Pensacola. There was a revival there, Assemblies of God Church. Went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. Yes, he's under my feet. I took back what he stole from me. Friends, there are people here who've had things that you've felt you've lost. Maybe you've even felt the inheritance has slipped through your hands. It's like your family heirlooms, your family treasures, whatever. Even the faith of your parents or possibly others that you thought, man, I look up to their faith and look at my faith. But I feel God's going to shore up your faith. He's going to strengthen you, gird your loins. He's going to lift you up through this word this morning. It's one of those words that you need to listen to again, again.